Well, good morning. Well, I've been told that the last couple of weeks I keep forgetting to introduce myself when I come up here. My name is Ricky Holder. I'm the middle school pastor here at Heartland. It's been great to be able to share with you, but I do quickly forget that not everyone in this room knows who I am. I'm used to being with our middle schoolers on Wednesday nights, although I have discovered that all of them don't know my name either, but that's a story for another day. Over the past couple weeks, I've had the honor to fill in for Pastor Ed while he is on sabbatical. He's going to be gone for a total of 13 weeks, which gives all of the other pastors, gives us an opportunity to share what God's laid on our hearts. So Lord willing, next week you'll hear a three-week series from Pastor Chad, and then we'll continue through the rest of the pastors, and we're excited for that. But over these past couple weeks, we've looked at this concept of shortage, where supply meets demand. We've been talking ultimately about the idea of stewardship and what that looks like and what our responsibility is in that. So as a quick refresher, let's look at the word stewardship. Stewardship is defined as the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. This idea that certain things in life have been entrusted to us by God, and we have a responsibility to manage it correctly. So if you missed the last two Sundays, you can always catch up online. I encourage you to go back and watch those services on our website. But as a quick recap, 2 weeks ago, we looked at how we handle our time. We have a certain amount of time given to us, and we have to determine what we do with it. Last week, we talked about our talents, how the Holy Spirit has uniquely gifted each of us with certain skills and abilities, and the expectation is that we use those gifts to glorify God, to serve in the church, to serve in the community, and all of this is for the goal of growing the kingdom of God. So if you have not signed up to serve, Pastor John earlier shared that we had 60 people this past week, and that is wonderful, but there is still more need. There is still a place that you can get plugged in inside Heartland, in our community. If you're interested in doing that, go to heartchurch.org/serve, and you can fill out that quick form, and somebody will be in contact with you. We want to get you plugged in and serving with the gifts that God has given you. But today, we're going to look at one last thing in this series. We looked at time, we've looked at talents, and today, we're going to look at treasure. So yes, I'm talking about money today. A couple months ago, Pastor Ed preached a very similar message, and he divided the world essentially into two categories. You're either a consumer or a hoarder, otherwise known as spenders and savers. And all of us fall into one of those categories. My whole life, I have been a saver. That's just who I am. When I was 10 years old, my dad, who's here this morning, took me to the bank because I asked him to, not because he made me, and I wanted to deposit money and open a savings account at 10 years old. And I was able to put money in there and save up. And as I wanted to buy things, I bought them because I had money for it. All through my teenage years, I paid cash for every car that I owned because I got a job and I worked and I saved money. And now I've got my children who some of them are following in my footsteps and some of them are not. My 10-year-old is a big saver. If he wants something, he knows exactly how much it is and he saves up for it, constantly counting and figuring out what he needs. And in our house, you have the opportunity to earn money. We call it a commission. You don't just get an allowance, you have to earn money. So you can do different things, like you can mow the lawn and get paid for that. Or in our house, there are 7 people. There is a never-ending battle with laundry. My wife and I hate folding laundry, so we decided we'll pay the children to do it. So they can get paid to fold a load of laundry, and they know it. And sometimes when they need money, they just go and do clothes. And it makes our lives a lot easier. But they can all earn and they can save. Jason was able to save up enough money to buy himself a hoverboard a few months ago. And he knew how much it was. He saved up and he bought it himself. And now we get to deal with a hoverboard running in circles around our house, both in and out, pushing the little sister around on her scooter, all the crazy things that come along with that. But when I was growing up, I never really understood how to properly handle money. Yes, I was good at saving and all those things, but what I knew about finances, what I chose to do with my finances, was based on what I had seen other people do, what I had seen family do, what I had watched. But it wasn't until I was married that I realized that the most valuable resource on money was the Bible. Most people don't realize this, but there are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that discuss money or possessions. That's more than double the number of verses that talk about faith. I would say this is something important for us to discuss. When we kicked off this series a couple weeks ago, we read a passage from Matthew chapter 25. And that's where I want us to look today. We're going to look back at that passage, and that's where we're going to kind of stem from. This passage is a parable that Jesus used in the Olivet Discourse. This took place not long before he was arrested, tried, crucified, and died. And here we are in his last days, and he chooses, of all things, to talk about money. So let's look at this passage here in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of these servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here Jesus is addressing this idea of stewardship. We spend our lives on this constant search for money. I know a lot of us are familiar with the idea of a pyramid scheme. These things only exist because it's a way for people to get rich quick, to find money, to build it quickly. You can do a Google search and you'll find millions of websites with advice on how to get wealthy, how to make money. We search our whole lives for the best way to accomplish this. We call it providing for our families, but in reality, nothing is ever enough. We always want the next best thing, the nicer car, the bigger TV, the newest purse. We try and we try, but that's the problem. We're trying to make money. We're trying to get the next best thing. We hunt and we hunt for this treasure so that our lives will be easier, so that we can have the greatest things. Whatever the reason, we are hunting for something that God has already taken care of. So we have to remember that it's not your treasure. There's not $1 to your name that was not given to you by God. Everything that we have has been entrusted to us by him, and we are given the responsibility of stewarding it. The moment that we realize that it isn't our money is the moment that we can stop worrying about it, that the anxiety can go away. Stop worrying about finding more money. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus says, Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? We can work hard and we can stress about money all day long, but it isn't going to change the fact that God is going to provide what we need. The birds of the air have needs. They need shelter, they need food, but they don't worry about it. God's always going to provide for them. How much more is he going to provide for us? You see, we are the ones that are created in the image of God, not the birds. If God will provide for them, we have to trust that he's also going to provide for us. There are many times in my marriage that we've wondered how we're going to buy groceries for our kids, how we're going to survive. But every time, God has made a way. So don't worry about what comes next. Trust that God is going to provide for you. it may not make sense to us because this looks different for each and every one of us, but in God's eyes, it always makes sense. Stop searching for treasure under every rock that you find. Stop worrying about tomorrow. In 1 Chronicles 29, David is praying to God, and he says, "Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. All that we have came from him, and all that we have is his." Because God rules over everything. He is ruler over all of it. And he has a plan for everything, and that includes your finances. God has a plan for that. And another thing that we need to remember is to not let this treasure control you. We spend our years growing up with one thing in mind, and that is get a good education so we can get a good job, so we can make a lot of money. This thought, this idea of the American dream, it consumes us, takes up every aspect of who we are. When we're kids, children, they have dreams. But at some point, that dream changes to this desire for success. Many go from these childhood dreams to these dreams to be better and better. For many people, it consumes us, and it becomes the only thing that we think about. A couple weeks ago, I talked about time and how, for many people, work gets the priority in their life. And the reason we give so much time and energy to our jobs is because we have this desire to be successful, to get the next promotion, to get a better job, all with that end goal of making more money, building your treasure. Whatever we consider valuable, that's what we're going to continue to work for. That's where our priorities are going to lie. In Matthew 6:21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If the thing you care about most is reaching that next level, getting the next raise, then that's where all your energy is going to go. It is going to consume you. And there's nothing wrong with striving for excellence. We should always strive to be better. That's one of our core values here at Heartland, is to always do our best and be our best. But when that becomes all that you care about, then it has taken the place of God in your life. And that's what this verse is saying. Wherever you put all of your energy, that is what's ruling your life. If you care more about these things than God, then it has become an idol. God must remain first. He has to be first in your life. So what do you spend your money on? Where is your money going? What you do with your money tells exactly where your heart is. I'm not going to tell you what you should do with every single dollar that you have, but I will tell you this. Just like when we evaluate our time, we need to evaluate our money so that it doesn't control us. If you're spending money on things that you don't need and neglecting the responsibilities in your life, then it's time to reevaluate your finances. Reevaluate where your money's going. It's extremely easy to let money take control, to let it dictate our lives. And in a lot of cases, what we do in life is based on how much money that we have, what we have to work with. We only make so much, and you can only do so much with it. So don't compare yourself to other people. You are not your neighbor. You are not the person next to you. You are who God created you to be. You have to be in control of what you have, no matter how much or how little. Make a plan and know where your money is going before the month even begins. If you just spend and spend and spend, you just constantly consume, then you're going to have too much month left at the end of your money. You have to be in control of it so that it's not in control of you. Now, not everyone is in the same place financially, and I understand that, but we should not worry about comparing ourselves to other people. And I know the part that most people stress about is that we worry that there isn't enough money to begin with. We worry there isn't even enough to have our basic needs met, enough money to make ends meet, as they say. But this is where I point you back. It's not your money. There's nothing that you have that God didn't give you first. But the reverse of that statement is also true. There's nothing that you don't have that God wanted you to have. 1 Samuel 2:7 says, "The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts." Sometimes it's hard for us to grasp why God would give more to some and less to others, but that's not for us to understand. That is his will. That is his plan. And his plan is always going to be greater than anything we could ever imagine. We have to trust that whatever he has in store for us is going to happen according to his plan. Good and bad, plenty or little, it's all because of God's plan. But even in doing so, we are expected to be good stewards of what he's entrusted to us. No matter how much or how little it is, we have a responsibility. In the parable of the talents, Jesus tells about these men who were given the master's money and held accountable for what they did with it. One man was given more than the others, and one man was given very little. Two men did well, and one did not. Two men were rewarded, and one was punished. So whatever amount you're given, whether big or small, we need to handle that treasure wisely. What we do with what we have is important. God has given us this responsibility. A phrase I use a lot that we need to use is that we need to make wise choices. I say that to my children, I say that to the students. We need to make wise financial decisions. You need to make the best use of the treasure that you have. So are your basic needs being met? If you haven't paid rent or the electric, then you shouldn't have the newest toy available. Part of this idea of handling treasure, or as what we really should call it, is managing your money, is making sure that you put everything in the correct order. Basic needs are at the top. Food, shelter, clothing. After that comes all the rest. And one thing that we all need to be careful of is debt. We're a world that loves debt. Now, I'm not a financial expert, and I'm not going to argue for or against consumer debt. That's not what this is about. But what I'm telling you is what the Bible says. So look at Proverbs chapter 22. Solomon, a very wise, very wealthy man, tells us that the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Whatever decision you make with your family regarding debt or any of these things, know that you are placing yourself under the authority of that lender. If you have a mortgage on your house and you don't pay it, they have every right to take that home away from you. We also have an obligation to pay back our debts. If we want freedom from all of those things, if you don't want someone else in control, then don't borrow the money. Don't take out a loan on a car if you don't want a bank or a business to take it away from you. But if you do, then paying off that debt should be a priority over other things in your life, before some of the fun things that we may want to do. So make sure you weigh the cost of every financial decision you make, every purchase that you make. Make sure you understand what you are signing up for, what you're doing. If you can't afford something, then be content with what you have. If you aren't prepared to be a slave to the lender, then don't borrow to begin with. If we look at the men in the parable, two of them were rewarded for taking the money and using it to benefit the master. There's nothing wrong with investing your money, letting it work for you. These two men doubled what they had been given, but everything that they did wasn't for themselves, it was for the benefit of the master. How we plan out our finances, what we do with our money, yes, it benefits us in the short term, but it should ultimately be for the benefit of the one who's entrusted it to us. The third man buried the money in the ground. The master tells him, the least you could have done is taken this money and put it in the bank and made me some interest on it. So what we see here is there's nothing wrong with investing your money. There's nothing wrong with planning for the future. There will come a day when all that we've done in life, everything that we've been entrusted with as far as our finances for, it all has to be answered for. And if we don't make wise choices with our money now, a day will come when it's gone and we have nothing left. And if we aren't careful, that day may be way closer than we ever imagined. And unfortunately, we're living in a time where people just constantly consume with no regard for tomorrow. We're consuming more than we have, and as a result, we become reliant on others, supporting each other and helping those in need. All of these are great things, but if you're perfectly capable of providing for your family and you still become 100% reliant on someone else, then a mistake has been made. Your priorities have been misplaced. We have to look to the future, and for some of us, that future is tomorrow. That future is groceries at the end of this week. Regardless of where you are, you have to be prepared. Now, there's a fine line that we need to be careful of between preparation and anxiety. Worrying about tomorrow isn't going to help anything, but that doesn't mean we don't need to prepare for tomorrow, to separate those things. Now, I know a couple weeks ago I mentioned that I'm a big fan of Dave Ramsey when it comes to how to handle finances. When PJ and I first got married, we went through a Dave Ramsey course and got a lot of very practical financial tips. I was 21, we had a newborn, I was full-time in college, and I worked full-time at Red Lobster. We did not have a whole lot to work with. But we were in a better place financially than most people that had good-paying jobs that were not managing their money correctly. Now, did we struggle? Of course we did. God always provided for us. But we made wise choices because we had wise counsel. And all of this was because we made smart financial choices early in our marriage. And that's another thing. Couples, your financial decisions should be made together. Just like raising children, you have to be on a united front. When you said, "I do," your lives became one. And that means that your finances have become one. So what one does affects the other for the rest of your lives. It doesn't matter who makes more or who works more. In a marriage, you're a team. And all decisions that you make need to be made together. When a big purchase is being made in my house, not even a big one, even the little ones, my wife and I talk about it. We discuss our budget together. Neither of us is ever surprised by what the other has spent money on. How we handle our treasure, it doesn't just affect you. It affects your spouse. It affects your children. It affects the world around you. It's more than just one simple decision for yourself. There is lasting impact. So make the best possible decisions now so that down the road, you have nothing to worry about. Your decisions today will 100% affect tomorrow. So now, if you've taken all of these things that I've said to heart, if you acknowledge that this treasure isn't yours, if you take control of your money and you handle it wisely, then this next thing I'm about to tell you won't be as difficult. We have to share this treasure. And I know this is a hot button topic for some, but we have to remember that this treasure is not yours to begin with. So it's not your money that you're giving away. And when it comes to our budget, there are certain things that God expects from all of us. God does not want our leftovers. He doesn't want your leftover time, he doesn't want our leftover energy, and he doesn't want our leftover money. So now please don't check out because I'm talking about giving, because I know a lot of people don't like to hear this. But what the Word of God tells us, this is a mandate. This is something that we are all called to do. In Deuteronomy 18, the law is being explained to the people, and Moses tells the people in reference to supporting the priests and giving to God, he says this, "The first fruits of your grain, of your wine and of your oil, and the first fleece of your sheep, you shall give him." Give your first fruits. This means that it comes off the top of what you have. This is a percentage of what you're grossing. When you get a paycheck, this is the very top number. This is what you're giving off of. The first fruits, they were the best. When the harvest came around, they were taken at the beginning. When what you give to the church isn't a percentage of what's left over after you pay your bills or what's left over after you go buy yourself something nice. It should be taken at the top, right at the beginning. And this is a hard concept for a lot of us to grasp. But remember the little things. Remember that it's not your money to begin with, and that God has our future under control. Giving to him is an act of obedience. It shows our faith, our trust in him. Now, I'm not going to say that the more you give, the more he's going to bless you. But I will say this. You will never outgive God. And just like the birds don't worry about their next meal, we need to be obedient first and trust God's will no matter what. We need to trust him. And the question of how much we should be given is also answered in Scripture. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse." We've heard that word tithe many times in our lives. That word literally means a tenth. 10% of what God has given you needs to be given back to him. Again, this isn't 10% of the leftovers. This is the first fruits, 10% from the beginning. And anything you give beyond that is what we would call an offering. These are the extra things that we do. These are things like giving to Florida Baptist Disaster Relief. These are things like sponsoring a child through Compassion International or supporting Living Hope Church that's starting down in Bradenton. Those are extra. We live in a time when people want to give, but a lot of people aren't supporting the ministries of the church. Giving to a good cause is not the same thing as tithing. Tithing comes first, offering comes later. What we do as a church can only happen because of the money that is given to the church. So things like Awana and VBS or our Heartland Moms Ministry, our ability to live stream online, to pay our utility bills here, those all happen because of the gifts that are given to the church. The church doesn't exist to make a profit. Heartland doesn't exist to make money and steal your treasure and hide it away from you. The church exists to do what God has called us to do. And we have to steward it in the same way that you have to steward what you have been given. And money that comes into the church, yes, it goes into this building, but it also goes out. And I don't have to worry about what my life is going to be like or whether or not my paycheck will be affected, because I know that God is going to provide what happens here. He doesn't need your money. But following and giving is an act of obedience. We are all called to steward. So we take what's brought in and we give out into the community and we serve. All of that happens because of what you're able to do here. Now, I know all of this money stuff doesn't come easy to everyone. I know it's difficult for us to talk about. But we need to actively work towards making changes in our lives so that we can follow these things. So this means you need to sit down with your spouse, and you might need to have that hard money conversation. If you're single, you need to find someone that you can trust that will hold you accountable to help you figure out your budget. But no matter what, you need to put your relationship with God above every other thing. You need to trust that His will is greater. Trust that what He has planned is greater than what we could ever want or whatever we could understand. So what areas of your finances need to be addressed? What do you need to change today? Be a good steward of the treasure that you have. Honor God with every ounce of who you are, and that includes honoring Him with your bank account. Now, I know the past few weeks have been a little hard for some of us to take in, and my goal has not been to hurt feelings, it's not been to step on toes, but if you've been convicted of how you're handling the things that God has given you, your time, your talent, your treasure, then it's time for a change. And I hope that after today, you look at your finances, you look at your life, and you make some healthy changes for you and for your family. But remember this, you can't hide from God. You can lie to me, you can lie to your spouse, you can lie to your children, but God will always know your heart. He'll always know the truth. So make a commitment today to stop hunting for treasure. Start using what you have for Him. You can always look to the Bible for advice on Scripture. We have plenty of resources here at the church and people we can connect you with to help you figure out your finances. But we want you to honor God. Put God first. For some of you, this idea of giving to the church doesn't really make any sense, and we don't really understand why anyone would ever do that. And that's because you don't have a relationship with Christ. So before you leave today, I would ask that you make that decision, that you would say, God, I want you to be first in my life. I want you to be the one that I follow. Because Jesus gave everything for us so that we could follow Him. He lived a sinless life and He died in our place so that we could have eternal life. And yes, He has called us to give back to Him. That's not a stipulation of our salvation. It is an expectation of what comes afterwards. It's something that we are all called to do. So honor God. Make the changes that need to be made in your life. Our band is going to sing in just a moment. We have our prayer team in the back with lanyards on. You can go talk to them. They will be glad to pray with you. Our crosses are here. You can come. Write your request down, nail it to the cross. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do, make a decision today. Follow Him. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for the way that You have blessed our lives, that You have given us this opportunity to worship You, to follow You. God, I pray that what we've learned over these past few weeks, this idea of stewardship, that You would ingrain it on our hearts, so that we can use our time and our talent and our treasure for Your glory. That it not be about us and not be about our desires and our dreams, but God, that our dreams would be Your dreams and that You would be honored and glorified through it all. God, we give this time to You. We give our lives to You. It's in Jesus' name I pray.